Good morning. Greet you all in Jesus' name here this morning. It's a blessing to be gathered in this way. I appreciate the thoughts that have been shared already on compassion and forgiveness of sin, where to turn to. Thought the opening there with compassion fits in very well with where some of my thoughts have been going, with honoring and respecting each other in our homes, in the church, as we go about work, meet people in the world, as we look at people. Everyone has been created and made in a very specific way, uniquely made for a specific purpose. And I find myself challenged to view people in that way. So, thinking about compassion, are we compassionate about those people that we meet that are lost in sin, that are hurting, that are grieving, that are mourning? Appreciated those thoughts. Maybe we could just bow our heads this morning and pray for the message here. Father, we come to you again in the name of Jesus this morning. We just thank you for being a merciful, holy, heavenly Father that cares about each one of us, that loves us. And Father, you have a desire to have a deep relationship with each one of us. Lord, so often it's our heart and our hardness that hinders that relationship. Pray that you would work deeply in my own heart and in all of us, that we can have a deep respect and honor for you and for all men, that the blessings of you, heaven, can rest upon us, that we can be peaceful, live peacefully among each other, as families, as parents, husband and wife, as a church, as a ministry, as we work together. Help us to have a deep respect and appreciation for each other. God, we need you. Just pray you would come. Bless our time here. Help me to convey the message, the burden that you've laid on my heart, that it can be edifying, strengthening for the church. Lord, we don't know what the future holds. We just pray that you would prepare us. Prepare our hearts for what you have for us. We thank you for coming, dying on the cross, being that example of reaching out, loving and caring and honoring those that you labored among. Thank you for the healings that you've performed, compassion that you showed. Help us to be your followers, Lord. We commit this time into your hands, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to talk a little bit about what happens under the waterline. There's a story by Gordon MacDonald. Tells the story of how the Brooklyn Bridge remains a major transportation artery in New York City today, because over 100 years ago, the chief engineer and his construction team did their most patient and daring work where no one could see it, on the foundations of the tower below the waterline. It is one more illustration of an ageless principle of life. The work done below the waterline will determine whether what we do will stand the test of time. Spiritually, this work is called worship, devotion, and a variety of spiritual disciplines. It's done in quiet, where no one but God sees. Think about it. We may be blessed with great natural skills and charisma, but remain vulnerable to a collapse in our character, our key relationships, and our ministry if we never learn that we can't build above the waterline until there is a sustainable foundation below it. A reread of the life of Moses is a great example of this. This man spent 80 years preparing for his more visible work. MacDonald goes on to say that the test of a person is less what we accomplish before 45 years of age and more what happens after. He calls it sustainability. The key is to last and grow stronger, wiser, and more focused with the years. In Ephesians 2, 19 and 20, Paul writes, "You are God's people and members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Is your trust in your foundation strong enough to sustain you? Is what you're building today being built to last? Is Jesus Christ solidified as the immovable primary cornerstone in your life?" Somebody sent this to me here a few weeks ago, and yesterday as I was studying and praying and seeking God, this kind of came to me. And the more I thought about it, just thinking about below the waterline, the heart, inside the boundaries of our property, inside the four walls of our house, in our closet, but most of all in my heart. Do I love and appreciate and esteem my brothers and sisters higher than myself in my heart? Do I esteem the Lord Jesus? Do I honor him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in my heart? Or am I putting on a show? I was just challenged with those thoughts. How do I look at the people around me? How do I look at my family? So I'd like to just look at the definition, a few definitions of honoring. Obviously, in the Bible, I hope I spelled that right now. Yeah, in the Bible it's H-O-N-O-U-R, but in the dictionary it's today is just H-O-N-O-R, which I don't think there's much significance in that, but the word honor in the Old Testament, the Greek word is kavod, literally translates to weight or heaviness. When you honor someone or God, you give their presence, word, or position weight and significance in your life. They honor people in that way, that I value, I appreciate and I value their presence, their words, their position. Is it significant in my life? Or is it a hindrance? In the Greek, I'm not sure if I know how to pronounce it, but it's emphasizes value, price, esteem. It is an act of treating people with the high regard that they are due. Are we treating people? Am I treating people? I was challenged, deeply challenged, as I was looking at this subject. I'm not sure what brought it on, but several weeks ago, just started thinking about my level of respect and honor for authorities, for the people around me, and even for God. What is my respect towards God? Do I appreciate what he has given and done for me? Do I respect God as high and lifted up, as all-knowing, as holy, as heavenly, as sovereign? We could talk all day about just, the majesty of God. I'm not going to talk too much about God. The verse there I get my title from, Honor All Men, is in 1 Peter 2, verse 17. He goes on and says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. I'd like to look at some of that today. I'm not sure how much we'll be able to cover, but primarily, honoring all men, as in our families, as in the church, as a brotherhood. But just a few more things that I found in the, as I looked up the Greek words, it's giving God the ultimate reverence, praise, and glory he deserves as the Creator. Parents, the fifth commandment mandates honoring our father and mother, giving them serious weight and respect regardless of their circumstances. Leaders and authorities, showing deference to secular leaders, church elders, and those in authority. One another. The Apostle Paul commands believers to outdo one another in showing honor and esteeming others as more important than themselves. I think it's an issue of the heart. It's an issue of the heart. As I consider my brothers, as I consider my fellow ministers, the elders, as we work together, as we sit together, as we pray together, as we seek God together, what is my respect? I know I've failed in that. I want to be open to that. It's a condition of my heart. I believe it covers every area of our life. Church life, family life, business life. And I believe that the blessings and the curses that people face, the trials in their own hearts, not trials as in difficulty maybe, but how we respond to difficult situations, to difficult people, is a result of the blessings that we receive from God, because it is one of his principles. And if we overtread those, we're bound to lose out. I was challenged with that. Not quite sure how to start and where to start. But I think we'll look at some family relationships. How does honoring all men fit into family relationships? If I honor my wife and my children, that will affect how I treat them. It will affect how I look at them. Even if they make a mistake, it'll affect how I view that mistake. And it'll affect how I respond to that mistake. Because I honor the person for who she or he is. I respect them. And I know that they have a future. I know that God is making something out of them. And so I treat them in a different way than I would if it was an animal or whatever, if I don't have respect for them. Just have a couple questions here. Young people, do you believe that God made your dad and mom uniquely and with a special purpose, and that he placed you into that family for a reason? Do I believe, as a parent, that God placed my children, specifically into my family, for a specific reason and purpose? Let's ponder those questions. Do we believe that? Or did it just happen? How do we honor that what God has ordained? If God specifically chose us and chose them in our families, how do we respond to that? Do we accept that? Are we okay with that? Do we value that? Do we appreciate that? Do we appreciate each other? Do we love each other and care for each other and seek to bless each other and encourage one another to bring unity and peace and rest and joy and love in our families, that the world can look on and say, wow, that's beautiful. That's a picture of God's kingdom. That's a light to the world. It starts underneath the waterline. It starts in our closet. It starts in the heart. Let's seek God. If that love and appreciation and respect is not there, let's make sure that we get it. Let's make sure that we receive that. Let's make sure that we get a hold of that need in our heart. It's a great need in our heart. It's easy for me to sit in my office and have a phone call or an email from a customer, and especially if it's a new dealer and everything sounds good and I can say a lot of good things. But what's going on in my heart? Am I doing it because I respect the person, or am I doing it for the benefit of myself? Or it's easy when company comes to make things appear well. We can have good times together. But what is in the heart? How do I respect and honor my children when nobody is around? When it's just us as a family, do we enjoy each other? I have a deep desire to grow in that. Just enjoying each other, making precious moments together as a family. I have the area of children and how they view and honor their parents. Parents, how they view and honor their children. Wives, how do you view and honor your husband? Husbands, how do you view and honor your wife? And last but not least, brothers, how do we view and honor our elders and each other? Maybe we should talk about the people we meet on the streets. What value do we see in them? Do we spend time? I'm challenged with that. The other day I did take the opportunity, and it just blessed my heart. Just going away from that and knowing that this lonely man sitting on that bench smoking cigarettes day after day has had somebody that took time to stop. Many people walk past him every day. And it was good for me, and it was a challenge for me. Why don't I do it more often? Way too often I'm the busy person walking on. Do we honor them for who they are as a unique creation from a loving God that God cares about Children, just want to give you a few verses here and a few encouragements. Make much of the father figure in your life. As a child, make much of the man in your life. Honor and respect him in spite of his weaknesses and his faults. They are there. We have plenty of them. As fathers, we have plenty of them. But make much of that man in your life, or that mom, that dad that God has placed you into to care for you. Now, we can work hard and our hands bleed and we have blisters and we provide food and clothes and all that, but what does that mean to a little child? They want to be cared for in a different way. Yeah, I'm sure they'll appreciate that as time goes on, but when they're little. My son, hear the instruction of my father and forsake not the law of thy mother. That's in Proverbs 1:8. I'll try and give you definitions just because we have the verses here, because we have quite a few. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Ephesians 6:1-3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. In spite of those shortcomings, in spite of those weaknesses that sometimes glare at you, honor your parents. Love them. Develop an appreciation for them. Don't let that river of grace in your life be dammed because of your disrespect to your parents. Don't let God's blessings be held back from you because of disrespect toward your parents. Don't let it happen. I know we have a lot of good families here. I'm not pointing fingers towards anyone. It's just an encouragement and a challenge to me. My parents don't live anymore. But I still have a respect and an appreciation for the many good things they taught me. Much of prospering in life will be determined by how you relate to the things that are not the way they ought to be. How do we relate to the things that are not the way they ought to be? Learn how to relate and respond well in spite of the need in your parents. Young people, develop a grateful attitude for your parents. They do a lot for you in spite of their weaknesses. Talk a little bit to the women here, the sisters. Wives, submit to your husbands. Honor your husband. Honor all men. That includes your husband. How do you respect that man that God has brought into your life and that you loved so much back then before you saw all his faults and failures and weaknesses? Make much of that man, that provider, the caregiver in your life. His weaknesses, his shortcomings glare at you sometimes. His inferiorities, his lack of communication, his lack of understanding and relating, his lack of taking the initiative. You struggle with that sometimes? I'm sure my wife does. Are we willing to talk about those things? Let's be open to each other and respect one another highly for who we are. Let's just respect each other for who we are. And I want to say this as a living testimony that you have a tremendous opportunity to come alongside your husband and lift him up. My wife has done a lot for me. I'm not saying that I'm blooming and flourishing, but I am sure more than I was at one time. I give a lot of credit to my wife. Don't let those weaknesses and those miserable failings, don't let those stumble you. Don't let them come in the way of just blessing and pushing him on. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his house. That's Proverbs 12:4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed as rottenness in his bones. 1 Peter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. You might not have an unbelieving husband, but come alongside and build him. Be a crown to your husband. Thank you, Alma, for the crown you are in my life. Titus 2, 4 and 5. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. It's not about us. It's about the word of God. It's about the kingdom of heaven. Let's keep that in mind. As you struggle with some of those glaring faults, realize it's not about me. It's not about us. It's not about our family. It's not about our church even. It's about God's kingdom. And do what you can. Be there for them. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Proverbs 31, 10 and 11. Who can find the virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Sisters, are you doing your husband good? I trust you are. I want to bless you for that. I have many good sisters, good wives. Appreciate you all. Keep it up. Sadly, there are many women that are not that way. There's many in the world that are tearing down their husbands. I don't know how many times in the last 10 years in my business I heard people refer to their wife as the boss, as whatever all, and different ones making remarks about, are you married? Oh, you know what I'm talking about then. Well, sometimes I actually just had to tell them I don't. I mean, I really don't. That's not the way it should work. I gave opportunity sometimes, but sometimes I just really didn't know what to say. I mean, it was such a glaring fault in how they view their own wife and husband. I mean, just, yeah, sad. Don't tear down your husband. God has brought you together for a specific plan and purpose. Husbands, love your wives. Honor them for who they are. One day we made a promise. We made a promise to care for them, to love them, to be there in the thick and the thin, sickness and health, until death do its part. Is that our desire? Is that our heart? Do we respect our wife enough that we want to do that? And we love to do that. Because we care about her, we honor her, we respect her, and we love her. Make much of the woman in your life. Bless her. There's many ways to do that. Respect her as the weaker vessel. And seek God to lead her and to guide her according to knowledge. Not according to your flesh, but according to knowledge. Under the waterline, inside the closet, seek your heart. Do you deeply love and appreciate your wife and respect her for who she is? I'm going to read Ephesians 5, verse 22 to 33, if you want to turn there with me. And I just appreciate how Paul correlates the husband and wife relationship to the church, to Christ and the church. And yeah, I think it's something that we can learn from. And if we have a respect, a reverence, a love for each other that can come out of our life, that can be true in our hearts, in our lives, in our church. But if not, what's going to happen then? Ephesians 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, that not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. How is that being lived out in our life, in my marriage, but in my heart? Where's my heart in that? Am I good? Am I putting on a good front? Am I making it look good? Or do I, from my heart, respect, honor, and love my wife? There is no spot, no blemish. It's a haven of rest for our children. It's a place of peace where we can do life cheerfully and joyfully, and make good memories and have good times, and also weep together in sorrow and in pain and in the struggles we face. For the purity of the body of Christ. It's not about us. It's about God's kingdom. Parents, fathers, is your heart turned toward your children? Do you honor your children for who they are? Malachi 4:6, and ye shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Is your heart is my heart turned to my children? Or is it turned towards business, towards pleasure, towards things of life? Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What does it look like to bring them up? Doesn't really look like a heavy hand or a rod. Yeah, we need to use the rod some maybe, but an invitation to them to come along, being there, taking time, bring them up. God has created them. He's put them in your family for a specific purpose and reason. Make sure you make much of that. Make sure you do what you can. And I'm speaking to myself. I need God's grace in these areas. Our sons don't really have a hard time honoring us when they're little. We have good times and life is going on, and yet, what about when he sees those glaring faults that start showing up? Do we have a relationship to where they can come and talk with us about that? And we can communicate and dialogue, and they realize that we're also human. We do make mistakes. And we can have a respect and a blessing flowing and learning from each other. Do we honor them in a way that we can receive from instruction or that we can receive from them? You might say that's not biblical. It says honor all men. That means I ought to honor my children. Has our heart been toward our children? Are we observing what's happening in their hearts? Are we observing? Are we present, first of all? And when we're present, are we present or are we just there? Are we observing? It's a challenge in my heart. Do I honor and respect my children? Honor all men. We have made mistakes. There's quite a few of you older than me in here. Your children are older. Some of them are grown and married, and you didn't always do the way you should have. Don't go to the grave with those broken, shattered pieces. There's still time to honor your children. There's still time to esteem them and to love them as a gift from God. It might take time. If you can't say it, write it. But do something about it before it's too late. Find that Abba Father in God. There's many counseling places. And praise the Lord if people get help in counseling places. But don't look to counseling places for healing. God is the healer. Praise the Lord if they can help you find healing, but it has to be in God. Only God, the Abba Father, can bring healing to all of our hurts and pains. And I say that out of experience. There is healing. There is freedom. in Christ, there is healing and forgiveness, I mean. He came to set the captives free, to deliver, how does it go? To heal the brokenhearted, and to bring recovery of sight to the blind, and to set the captives free. Anyway, it's in the Abba Father, the Heavenly Father. Are we adopted into that family, and have we accepted Him as our authority, our God, our Father, our healer? Seek it with all your heart. Right, some of the hardest things for us is the most easy ones. And what I mean by that is fixing broken toys, putting band-aids on their scratches. Those unnecessary little things. I'm talking about younger children again. Do I respect my little daughter when she comes with those little scratches? Do I respect her for who she is and take time to help her find healing? It will make a connection and bring us together. And then when they get older, things come up, difficult things in life, that connection, that relationship can be established. It's there. Little moments, good times. My son, give me thine heart, works best as an invitation. My child arrived just the other day. He came into the world in a usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned how to walk while I was away. He was talking for a bit, and as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be just like him. When are you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll have a good time then. We'll have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw, he'd say. I said, not today, son. I got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And his smile never dimmed. He said, I'm going to be just like him. When are you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll get together then. We'll have a good time then. Well, he came home from college just the other day. So much like a man, I just had to say, I'm proud of you, son. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and said with a smile, what I'd really like is to have the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? When are you coming home, son? I don't know when, but we'll get together then. We'll have a good time then. I've long since retired and my son moved away. I just called him the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. You see, my new job is a hassle and the kids have the flu, but it's sure been nice talking to you, Dad. It's sure been nice talking to you. As he hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he had grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. Do I want that to be a reality in my life? Am I living the way that I would like to see my boy just like me? Lord, help us. Honor all men. It includes your children. Love the brotherhood. Honor all men. Let's look a little bit about brotherhood. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially them that labor in the word and in doctrine. 1 Timothy 5:17. I just want to thank you, elders, for what you do here for the church. It's your many hours praying, studying, sharing, meetings. I just want to bless you. Thank you. You know, sometimes as younger men, we live in a world, a time when we kind of we have the answers. And I think it's probably been that way throughout history, too. But maybe more so today, if we doubt Dad's judgment, if we kind of have this mistrust about our elders, it's easy for us to get the phone out and call someone that we respect maybe more than them, or it's maybe even easier to get Google and ask him what he has to say. First Timothy 4:3. In the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Do I have an unnatural affection with my friend Siri or Google or whatever you call it? Are we finding our answers there? Or do we have a respect and an appreciation for our elders? As in older men, ordained elders, parents, we have a deep respect for them. God help us. The glory of a young man is their strength, and the beauty of an old man is his gray hair. I'm grateful for some of the beauty we have in here. Sadly, we don't have a lot, but we do have some gray hair. Just want to bless you older men. Make sure that you are maintaining that under the water line, because there's many young men looking up to you. Appreciate you young men that are looking up to the older ones. I want to bless you for that. I asked somebody the other week, I was pondering this thought of respect and honor for each other, and I asked just a random guy that I was talking with, I asked him, so what he thinks when he thinks about respecting one another and honoring them. And I figured he'd have to think a little bit, and he said, I think of harmony. Okay, interesting. So I looked up what harmony, well, we talked a little bit, and then I looked it up yet. And so it gives the idea of a structure made up of different parts that blend together for a beautiful cause. I had to think of Ephesians 4 and Romans 12. But harmony, do we respect each other in their gifts, in their talents, in their ideas, in their worldviews, and what they bring and as they contribute to the church? Is it harmonious? Or are we in each other's way? Do we respect each other? Do we honor each other? You know, we're here together. And we all have a desire to make it home. We all have a desire to make it home. Let's work together well. I need you, brothers. I know I struggle in some of these areas. Ephesians 5:21, for a couple of verses. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Leviticus 19:32, thou shalt rise up before the hoary hair and honor the face of old men and fear thy God. I am the Lord. 1 Timothy 5, 1-3. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. Are we honoring our dear old sister Marianne? God bless you, Marianne. Glad you can be here today. Titus 3, verse 1-2, put them in mind to be subject of principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Moses and Aaron and Miriam were working together. Moses, being the younger, was called to be the leader. The Bible says that he was the meekest man on earth. In the family relation, in the family, it would have looked like Aaron and Moses should have been, he was the younger. But God ordained it different. He called them out different. How do we respond to those that are younger, that are called as an elder? Do we value them or do we kick against it? 1 Peter 2:13 to 15. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to kings as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Are we willing to be found as servants, submitting to each other? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, Ephesians 5:21. In closing, I would just like to lift up the Lord God yet as the ultimate authority. God is head over all. Fear God and honor the King. 1 Chronicles 29:11, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. Revelations 5:13, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth, under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever, never ending. First Peter 3, verse 20-22, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Then, it's in parentheses, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. So I'll leave that out. The like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. If we think we are in power, if we think we are called to some great work, we might be, but we are subject unto him. God has all authority over each one of us in every area of our life. Let's fear him. Let's reverence him. Let's respect him for who he is and honor him as the ultimate authority of our life, of our family, of our church. Just have a desire that we love each other. I have a desire to love you. I have a desire to love God. It's part of my prayer been lately is, Lord, help me to love you more. Help me to love the brotherhood more. Help me to value the people that you have put in my life. Lord, give me a deep respect and appreciation. You're all a very unique creation from a very loving God. God bless you.